Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 9. The Fellowship of the Mystery. Points of Light. Scriptures. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3:8-15. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:17-31. Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you, and it shall be, that very soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. Ye are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Acts 3:19-26. And I will give unto my two, and I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. Revelation 11:3-4, American Standard Version. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude 1:14-21. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Philippians 2:12-17. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Exodus 40:32-35. End scriptures. Three visions. First vision. I beheld the overcomers in the earth in present time. As I saw them, I noted that from the core of their persons arose an ever-increasing light, a glowing light of the Shekinah glory of the Lord from within their very spirits. As the glory grew and increased in size, the outward bodies of the overcomers began to break and crumble and come apart, shattering from the inside out by the rising of this blinding light of Shekinah glory. In the process of time, their bodies were completely destroyed as relates to the natural element of this earth, as they became spirits of glory housed in new bodies upon the very earth itself. End first vision. Second vision. Being then carried to the outer edge of the atmosphere of the earth, I beheld the earth as it were without light, that the earth had the light of the sun and of the moon, but not the light of the revelation of the word of the Lord. The earth was indeed covered in gross, thick darkness, black as pitch, with no responsive light to the promises of God found in the pages of his holy writ. But then I beheld, in a growing intensity, the overcomers with this emerging light of glory. Each one had the light increasing and growing and filling up their persons with the Shekinah glory of the Lord. What was incredible was the fact that these were dispersed geographically throughout the earth, making points of light by which the earth was in its circumference covered. As specks of blinding light, they were seen through the earth as those upon whom the light of the glory of the Lord had risen. And the scripture for this, Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 9. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaloth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove's to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. End second vision. Third vision. I saw the overcomer standing in present, real time upon the earth, in their natural bodies of clay. Each one was surrounded by principalities and powers, the spirits of wickedness in high places, and each overcomer was being attacked by these powers. I saw certain demonic spirits whose countenances were fierce and whose work was to work in the minds of the saints. These demonic powers stood upon the heads of the overcomers and thrust through their minds and in their thoughts realms of passivity, areas in them where the overcomer compromised and where the overcomer was tempted to be lukewarm and stoic in their walk. These demonic powers flayed swords against the flesh bodies of the overcomers, attacking them in their bodies and in their minds with whatever measure was needed to sway the overcomer from remaining faithful and true to the singular walk of truth needed in this day before the Lord. The assault was extremely heavy, hard, and the brandishing of swords by the demonic powers was taxing upon the lives of they that would overcome. End vision. End three visions. Prophecy. My son, are you able to be alone, separate, even as I was when I hung upon my cross? Yea, I, the Lord Jesus, do say to you that aloneness is part of your cross. Yea, aloneness is oneness with me. I am thy master over every situation. I am well acquainted with the tauntings of the enemy towards you, and of the temptation you endure daily to fall away from me. Yea, I stood in the midst of my disciples, and they in love and zeal knew I alone was resurrection life. Yet I did set my face as a flint towards Jerusalem to the infamy of the cross and to the glory set before by my resurrection. Yet they did not understand or heed my words then, just as many do not so now. That word, that I would arise again. Even so, there are those around you who are blind and cannot see that I am about to rise in all my splendor, in my body, in my people. Yea, in you, and in they, you shall love in my spirit. Yea, in you, and in they you love in my spirit. Even in them I am about to arise. Even in the generation of sons and daughters that live on the earth at this time. Then shall they of Babylon's order, remember and confess me one to another and repent, and I shall surely heal them all. So then rest. Know I will draw to your side my people, they who will have a measure of my word given to them, or an increase given to them, or a blessing or prophecy bestowed upon them. Yet look not for they who are willing to abandon their all to me. Yea, each one is separated one from another at this time, until I bring them to perfect unity. Continue as you have been, while pleasing unto me, and to minister daily in whatever measure I give you wisdom for. For yea, I am the Lord, and I do confirm and establish this my word with an oath, even the oath of the love of God, which love will in time reconcile all things. Yea, hear, O deadened earth, from your shores and from the mountains and vales, from every kindred and tribe, tongue and nations shall they come, yea, from all circumventing time, each age that is dawned then died, they shall come. All these, my precious children, they shall come to the full image of Father God. These shall manifest fully the glory of my name, and shall release you, O curse of death, to die no more. Yea, all creation will I deliver into this their liberty, for that is the single purpose of my will, that all that died in Adam will live in Jesus Christ, and shall see even Adam himself in the fullness of resurrection life. So then, my children, come. Come from the far reaches of the firmament above. Come to this place in me where Jesus prayed that all would be one. Come, for the hour of this call is here. Come, for it is the time, yea, the time of my appearing, even the coming of the Lord without sin unto salvation. Even to they of this present generation, come, for all things are now ready. I am the Lord. End prophecy. The very next thing the Lord is about to do in the earth is to bring the overcoming company into an even greater realm of personal repentance. True repentance is a turning, not just from the iniquitous old nature that brings forth sin, but turning from the world itself and all that is alluring within it. As this will be a further expression of repentance, know that it is because the Lord is desiring the overcomer to have separated out from their persons that very carnality that still holds them to the earth. There is going to arise a new, fresh attitude, an act of repentance in the lives of they who are destined to inherit the throne of glory. As this repentance comes into their lives, it will be a new work and a new development in the timetable of the coming of Christ to establish and set up the millennium. This act of repentance will also bring about the total turning from the lower elements of life in this world to an absolute abandonment to the life inherent in the kingdom of God. This repentance I speak of is not as has been known before. The repentance by the preaching of John the Baptist was fulfilled when the Lamb of God appeared on the scene to be baptized of John to fulfill all righteousness. Now that righteousness will be answered, for this further work of repentance will be also fulfilled by the actual appearing of Christ when he comes again, bringing his reward with him. That reward will be the glorified body given to those who thus finished their courses and kept the faith. I say unto you, dear reader, that this repentance that is now coming to us will be the final act of the Lord working in us in pure holiness prior to his coming. How unlike what we have thought would happen. Rather than thinking we would be filled up with all that there is to know about the Lord and his love, we end up repenting of self. Rather than being filled up with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual things and not having any mysteries yet to grow up in and understand, we end up repenting even further, repenting until there is nothing left to repent of. It will seem like we are all taking a step backwards to the very first steps we made when we became Christians. And that was to repent first and to ask Jesus into our lives. This repentance that is coming to us will almost seem like that very first thing we did way back in time in our younger years when we came to the Lord to be saved. This is not a formula, not a plan to change the mind of the Lord and appeal for his appearing, but rather it is an act of simplicity, a coming down to a place of total abandonment unto the Lord in the full knowledge of his will and of our need to remain steadfast unto him. The greatest enemy of the Christian is passivity, becoming inactive with a lack of initiative, submitting to outside influences that are not tested as being valid from the Lord. This passivity is increasing in the earth, not decreasing, and many of those who have traveled in the walk of sonship have fallen into the passive, lukewarm compromise needed to cause one to fail. Some have been gleaned off of the final tally of overcomers because they allowed passivity to overtake them. Such is the manner of those who would remain defeated. But for the true overcomer, the Lord is bringing the first of many rewards, the first reward being greater repentance, a true gem in the overall plan of the Lord to manifest fully his person in the lives of those who would awake in his likeness. It is this repentance that is being brought to us so that we can see the separation of flesh from spirit, just as you would see the separation of chaff from the kernel of wheat. This act of repentance is opposite to passivity, and it is the key element of faith that the Lord will find when he comes. So then, dear reader of these pages, do you desire holiness in your life? Do you desire to be free of all fleshly constraints? When you seem to desire to progress in the things of the Lord, does flesh arise in you instead, and the vile temperament of your fallen nature? When you desire to do good, do you remain fixed in the Romans 7 experience? When you would be free of anything that would bind you to personal sin and iniquity, does that sin and iniquity just increase rather than cease? The holy, pure walk you want to have to please the Lord, does it seem distant from you? Know if you fit any of these things just listed, that you have given a perfect depiction of your need for repentance to overtake you. Not an act of human volition, but an actual motion of the Spirit of the Lord in you to bring you to that place where the separation is clear, where the vileness of flesh is separate from the purity and holiness of your new nature in the Lord. Daily, one must always put the cross to those things in them that are contrary to the pure holiness of his Spirit in them. In reality, this is actually very much a part of the fellowship of the mystery. For this kind of motion of spirit that will flow, that will now come to the overcoming company, will also bring fellowship and communion with those who abide beside you, who have come along to be your companion in tribulation. For they too will experience the same repentance and the same desire for holiness in their entire life, not just part of it. The fellowship of the mystery actually is done partly in the fellowship of suffering, even many sufferings. There is a communion and fellowship that comforts one another in this repentance and in this painful separation of flesh from spirit. This is very much a vital part to this mystery, and it will not be done until the line separating these two natures in you is complete and no more duality exists anywhere in your person. The Lord has ordained that mankind become holy. I'll repeat it. The Lord has ordained that mankind become holy. Mankind, all mankind, become holy. Everyone. This holiness will first be upon the overcomers. I'll repeat those two sentences. The Lord has ordained that mankind become holy. This holiness will first be upon the overcomers. This will happen through repentance. Repentance is ongoing. It is not yet done completely. It is not yet walked out thoroughly in us. This repentance will separate you from those who claim a name and a place in the Lord that tickles the ears and gives propensity to their natural life. This repentance willingly gives you whatever measure of suffering is needed to teach you to abandon your own life in favor of the Lord's. This repentance is the work of the Lord prior to his appearing, and this repentance will only be done first in those who are ordained to rule with Christ through the cosmos. The Lord will not remove this pattern from us. It seems strange, perhaps, that we come right back to the root of our walk, repentance in our lives. But know this, that repentance is the springboard to glorification. It is the work that the enemy has taken your eyes and has blinded you from. I repeat that. It is the work that the enemy has taken your eyes from and has blinded you from. The work being repentance. Those who hear this word and repent will not be able to stop the rise of the Shekinah glory of the Lord from within their very own spirits. A light that will arise in this earth that will not be a deceptive light or a light that imitates the true, but it will be a light that will illuminate this earth in the very light of his everlasting kingdom. This is the plan of the Lord, even his greater work, just before his kingdom comes. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.